Today, God laid on my heart for Mother's Day to all your moms. There's not one thing He wants to give you today. He wants to take stuff away today. Amen? He wants to take stuff away. He's not here to give you anything. And just take a moment here as we get started and we look at the first mom, Eve. Can you imagine being the first mother? Wow. We think of Eve, we think of the Garden of Eden, and we think about Adam. And we think of Eve, you know, running around in the grass, chasing Adam around with an apple. Say, hey, take a bite of this. But in reality, she had a mate, did she not? Her son truly was the best looking child she had ever seen.
Yeah.
Amen? Yeah. Her son was the smartest kid in the world. Wow, what bragging rights she must have had. Not one time did Adam ever say to his wife Eve, the mother of his child, "You're looking more like your mother every day." And Eve never threatened to pack her bags and go home to mother either. And she didn't have, and this is probably one of you ladies can relate to the most, she didn't have a mother-in-law to say, "Well, when I was raising Adam, I did it this way." But she didn't have any advice started out. Nope. But on a serious note, what she went through and went through her mind had been staggering. Just think, in paradise, wow, the apple of God's eyes fell into temptation. Her and Adam sinned. When she fell to the lies of Satan, brought that to her husband, the fruit and the sin, they were removed from paradise. Then we look at Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. I'm going to start with verse 1 I'll share with you today. Verse 1 to 8, Genesis chapter 4. So now the man had relations with his wife, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, "I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord." And again she gave birth to his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. And Abel on his part also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offerings. But for Cain and for his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. Otherwise he wasn't happy, he just got upset. See, he took a portion of his grain to God, okay? But Abel took the best portion to God. So God was very pleased that, you know, Cain wanted to give him, Abel wanted to give him such great offerings. And that made Cain jealous. Jealousy raised his head clear back then. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why are your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you. But you must master it." We must master sin. We must overcome sin. And Cain told Abel his brother. And it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Wow. In the garden, this had never happened. In the garden, there was no death. It was perfect. It was paradise. I mean, it'd be like going to Honolulu, Hawaii, moms, going there to raise your children. How beautiful it would be. How pretty it would be. But because of your sin, you're taken away from Hawaii, Honolulu, and now you're in the Mojave Desert. And you're trying to raise your children there. How many times did she think, if only I hadn't eaten other fruit, we'd still be in paradise? How many times did she cry out to God to change the situation? How many times did she beat up herself, saying, "Why, it's my fault. Look what my kid did. One child killed the other child." How her heart must have agonized. How she must have thought, "Man, I'm a failure of the mom. Man, look at what I did." How many times did her heart break? Well, there's another mom that we can look at today. Her name is Sarah. We find her in Genesis chapter 15. she's in 15, chapter 16, and chapter 17. I'll just summarize those three chapters together. See, God promises Abram at this time, as he was known, that he would have a son and he would be a father of many nations. In fact, God changed Abram's name to Abraham, which means father of many nations or descendants. Well, Abraham's wife, Sarah, figured she just is too old to have a child and thought, well, she had to help God out. Ever think about that? God gives you a promise, and you think, well, I got to help him out a little bit. He's kind of slow in doing this. So here's Sarah. God has already promised Abraham many descendants, okay? Promise. Now, how many people know God keeps his promises? He does. Amen. He does. Well, Sarah is thinking in her mental mind, okay, I'm getting older. I'm getting older. I'm not having a child yet. You know, there's trying, but this, man, well, I know what I'll do. I don't know what I'll do to help God out. Well, she had a maid servant named Hagar. Everybody familiar with Hagar?
Yeah.
Okay. A very beautiful lady, as she described. And she decided, well, I'll help God out. So she went to her husband Abraham and said, hey, I wonder if you don't mind if you would take my maidservant and lay with her and have a child. Now, I wonder how much talking convincing she had to do to her husband. How much, oh, please, oh, Abraham saying, oh, I don't think so, oh, better not. How much convincing did she have to give? Because she said now, she's older now, and this is a young maiden, and say, oh, honey, I get this idea. Well, here we go again, the lady tempting the man to sin. But remember, the man had free will to do what he wanted, okay? The man has a free will. Here, take my handmaiden. And they did. He lay with Hagar, and the son Ishmael was born. And eventually, Hagar and her son was told to leave the family. See, Sarah wanted Hagar to have the child. In fact, Hagar even sat in the lap of Sarah when she's giving birth. So everything would be as if she gave birth herself. She wanted to raise that child. But as time went on, envy, you know, there you got Hagar walking around with a child looking at her husband, over Mr. Abraham. Because Abraham still remembers the night. Okay, what I'm saying? And so there's this jealousy thing between the handmaiden, the beautiful servant lady, and Sarah, who's enraged. So she's getting upset at Hagar walking around holding this baby, saying, this is my child, not really your child. I gave your husband a child. And that started all kind of problems. You know that? I mean, ladies, how about today? How about today if we were wealthy enough to have maidservants and you allow you ask your husband? Can you ever imagine doing that? Okay. Sometimes we want something so bad that we'll do whatever we can to get it, thinking we'll be okay. And the next thing we know, wow, it blows up in our face. And, you know, we always got to remember that God will never have us step into sin to fulfill one of his promises. Never will. But through this, Ishmael was born. Eventually, Hagar and her son was told to leave the family. And if we look in verse 4 of chapter 15 of Genesis, I think I'm in Genesis. Behold, the word of the Lord came to Abram, saying, this man will not be your heir, but one who shall come forth from you, your own body, he shall be your heir. What was happening, Abram was talking to God, said, man, I have no kids. I have no one to be heir of my house. So whoever's in my house will become my heir. Whatever young man is in my house will take over. God says, no. Your heir will come from your own body. Okay? So, this is where we're at today, 5,000 years later. From his body came Ishmael. Amen? Right. Remember, Hagar lay with him, Ishmael. But then from his wife, Sarah, who God made the promise to, came who? Isaac. Okay? And today, we are still fighting over the same thing. Because Ishmael would have brought on the Arab nations, and you follow it down to the line, ISIS. Yeah. ISIS, okay, from the line Ishmael. They're fighting all the time. Why? Because God said, from your own body, your heir will come. But see, God will not cause you to fall into sin. God is talking about, you follow me, and from your own body, an heir will come. A son will come. So Hagar's son is not the son that God was talking about. God would never have you fall into sin to fill his word. He was talking to Abram and his wife. So the true heir of Abraham is Isaac. But the fight has been going on since the day of the birth that no Ishmael should be the heir, and everything is promised to him. The line of Judah would come through him. And that's why today we are still fighting back and forth. That verse in the Bible right there. And again, we go back. Look how simple it was. How simple it was. God gave a promise. I'm going to do this. But here we are. We have Sarah wanting to please her husband, wanting that descendant to be born. And she allowed her husband, or gave her permission, to lay with a handmaiden, to sin. Wow. Sin has repercussions, does it not? Oh, and how her heart must ache as things turn down. Well, how heavy that must be on the heart of Sarah, fighting continually between her children. But there is a God who knows all and prepares all. And he knew us before we were born. God, through his love, put a safety net in for mankind. And turn to 1 Peter 1:20. 1 Peter 1:20. Talking about the Lord, he says, "For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you." Now listen, what God saw from the foundation of the world. God saw the humans. He saw that we would fall. He saw the mistakes that would take place. He would see everything that took place. And God sent us a safety net in a son called Jesus Christ, who's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And what we have messed up, Christ came to renew. Amen? Amen. Okay, Sarah did what she thought was right. Eve thought she was doing right. She messed up. She sinned. It had a great consequence. But listen, God knew that. God sent, already had in purpose and plan, Jesus Christ to come to redeem us from our sins, to give us a new start. And that's the way it is today in your life. Maybe you're sitting here today, and maybe you feel like you're a Sarah or even Eve, and you look at your life and being a mom, and you start out, man, you just mess things up. And you think, man, my life is terrible. Why do I even become a mom? God saw the troubles you go through, okay? Some of the stuff you go through brought on maybe by yourself, but influence of other people, okay? Maybe you're sitting here today, you're shaking your head, I am the worst mother, or I had the worst mother. I'm telling you today, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us, to forgive us of our sins, and to go on with our life, a life that's worth living through him. Amen? Yeah. Don't let the weight of the world sit on your shoulders. Let the past be in the past. Let the future be of Jesus Christ. Don't carry the guilt around with you. Lay that burden down. Lay it down. Don't let it haunt you at night anymore. No more. God says he wants to take away the guilt that you carry with you. We want to look at a perfect mother. What is a perfect mother? I think it's any mom that gives birth. Some just act different than others. We always want to compare ourselves. You always want to be different. You always want to be someone like that person. That person wants to be like this person. Folks, God created us individually. Moms, he gave you a strength that he didn't give men in areas. We couldn't birth babies. He gave you a heart. And he gave you a mind. And he gave you a love that's unconditional. Don't allow Satan to take away what God's given you. Don't allow that. 1 Kings, let's look at a mother's love. 1 Kings chapter 3, that's in the Old Testament. Sometimes we have to look at ourselves and say, okay, that was in the past. I can't deny it, but I don't live there anymore. You know, Carol sings a song. I can't think of the name of it. I don't live here anymore. Went back to the house where I used to live. Okay? Yeah. Thanks to Calvary, I don't live there anymore. And thanks to Calvary, you don't have to live there in your mind anymore. You don't have to allow these things to come back and eat at you. 1 Kings chapter 3. And verse 16, who I want to start at. There were two women who were harlots. And they came to the king and stood before him. And they're standing before King Solomon. Okay? King Solomon. And one woman said, "O my Lord, this woman and I live in the same house. And I gave birth to a child while she was in the house." Okay? "And it happened on the third day after I gave birth that this woman also gave birth to a child, and we were together." So you got two ladies living in the same house. Both of them just had babies within a couple of days apart. There was no strangers with us in the house, only two of us in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him and smothered him. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from beside me while your maidservant slept, and laid him in her bosom, and laid her dead son in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to nurse my son, behold, he was dead. But when I looked at him carefully in the morning, behold, he was not my son whom I had born. You know, your mamas, you know your kids when you're born. You know, the world might not recognize them, but you always recognize your children. Amen? Whether hair long or short, no matter what the vocabulary is, you'll recognize your own child. Husbands or father, we might be a little different. We might say, "It looks like our kid." But the mothers, you know, because it came from within you. Then the other woman said, "No, for the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son." But the first woman said, "No, for the dead one is your son, and the living one is my son." Thus they spoke before the king. Then the king said, "The one says, 'This is my son who is living, and your son is dead.' And the other says, 'No, your son is the dead one, and my son is living.' And the king said, 'Give me a sword.' So he brought a sword before the king. And the king said, 'Divide the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other.' Then the woman whose child was a living one spoke to the king, for she was deeply stirred over her son, and said, 'Oh, my lord, give her the living child and by no means kill him.' But the other said, 'He shall be neither mine nor yours. Divide him.' Then the king answered and said, 'Give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is his mother.' And when all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had handed down, they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to minister justice." See, the real mother, no matter what it takes, wants her son to live. Even met another woman raising that child. And the wisdom God gave Solomon to decide who was a true mother. But the one who was not the mother said, "Go ahead and divide the child." A mother's love. Willing to give up their child in order for the child to live. The mother wanted to see her child live. She was willing to give up the child in order to give the child a chance in life. That is great love. It's kind of the same way when a woman gives up her child for adoption. They cannot see a life for their child with them because of circumstances in their lives. They want the child to have a better life. So through their love for the child, they give the child up for adoption. Maybe you're here today and you have always felt your mom didn't want you. You thought she was always selfish because she allowed you to be adopted. But maybe, just maybe, it was the great love that she had for you. Willing to give you up. Willing to go to the pain of seeing someone else raise you, hold you, have you call them mommy. All that in order for you to have a chance to give them in life. The Master says in John 15:13, he says, "No greater love has no one than to lay one's life down for his friends." And God speaks to us today and says, consider the circumstances. And then allow forgiveness to reign in your heart. Sometimes we don't understand the circumstances that people go through. Sometimes we look at things that people do and say they're selfish. I truly believe in the heart of every mother who ever gave birth that the love and desire for their child They have the expectation somewhere along the line to raise that child. They have that white picket fence around it in the country. But something inside of them, maybe something that torments them, maybe there's something in there that they can't get loose from, that they cannot accomplish yet. And they have a love for their child. They want to see that child be raised to live and to have a life. A life that they do not believe they can give to them. And if you're here today, and maybe for years you carried this in your heart, let God speak to you today. Let Him take away maybe that hatred you have for your mother. Maybe look at her today in a different light. Or maybe today your birth mom, you live with her, and you think, wow, what a terrible time I had as a child. Man, allow the Lord to soften your heart. Allow Him to allow you to forgive. You know, the greatest thing I hear when I talk to moms, sometimes dads, mostly moms, they always regret. If I had done something different, if I had done something better, if I went over here, if I didn't do that. Folks, every one of us could say that. Every one of us. Don't be downtrodden. Don't. You come through it. It comes down to love. God's love. That love is in us. To love one another. We think for a moment. We think about the perfect mom. And most of us, we think about the perfect mother that ever been upon this earth. And we think of Mary, the mother of Jesus, the perfect mom. We turn to Luke chapter 1. And this is a very familiar verse that we share. But the perfect mom. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 33. Now this is Mary, and we share this every Christmas. So now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. An angel showed up and said, "Hey, favored one." That's quite an invitation, is it not? And the angel said to her, listen to this, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Woo! "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end." Wow, now imagine this, ladies, moms out there. An angel showed up and said, "Hey, you're going to be a mama." I mean, that's pretty impressive, right? Yeah. For most of us gentlemen on honeymoon, we showed up with a bottle of wine and said, "Honey, you're going to be a mama." Okay, so we got the differences in the announcements. But Mary heard this, Mary received this. Now, let's go over to Luke chapter 2. Nope, I got ahead of myself. Let's go to Matthew chapter 2. I'm going to turn the furnace on, Aaron. Boy, it's getting cold in here now. Matthew chapter 2, verse 9. "And having heard the king, they went their way, and lo, the star which they had seen in the east." So we have got wise men headed to see the birth of Jesus, okay? Christ is born, the star's in the sky. We all familiar the star over Bethlehem. They followed the star, the wise men did, okay? "And they followed until they came and stood over the child. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And they came into the house and saw the child with" who? "Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshiped him, and opened their treasures. They presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, moms, any of you here in the hospital, when they bring the little storky pins in and stuff, did any king show up? Any wise men come and bring you frankincense and myrrh and gold? Okay, so this is kind of out of the ordinary, is it not? I mean, wow, I mean, born in a manger or in a stable, or we talked about that, the tower. And you've already had an angel tell you what's going to take place. You know that you're a virgin. And then you give birth. And now here come the wise men showing up. Wow. There is no doubt in Mary's mind who Jesus is. Amen? Right. He is a King of kings. He'll be the Lord of lords. Yes. He's the Son of God, the Most High. He is the great physician. Yes. Wow. What great responsibility she has. That's awesome. But let's take a look at this awesome mother in Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Luke chapter 2, verse 41 to 46. Now, she's raising Jesus. We know all the stuff that's going on. This perfect mom, who has done no wrong. Perfect. We see that they go to Jerusalem. In verse 41, it says that his parents used to go to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast, 12 years old. And as they were returning after spending a number of days, so they're up there in Jerusalem for several days, the feast of the Passover. And when they traveled, the family traveled, it could be 40, 50, 60 of them together. They're at Jerusalem right now, okay, for several days. And the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, and his parents were unaware of it. They left Jesus behind. It's not just for an hour, but suppose him to be in the caravan and went a day's journey and began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. And it came about that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to him and asking questions. They lost Jesus for 3 days. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Moms, have you ever lost your kid for 3 days?
No.
Husbands, do you ever get yelled at if you pick the kids up 10 minutes late?
Yeah. Yes.
There is no perfect moms. Just moms who have a heart for their kids. What a responsibility she had. Just think, God had sent his angel to tell Mary who she was agreeing to carry into this world. God even told her what his mission was. Matthew 1:21. Matthew 1:21. And the angel said, "And she will bear a son, and you shall call him his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The Savior of the world, she knew what she was carrying. She knew who Jesus is. And she lost him. Lost him. Folks, do not be hard on yourself. I know you're still wondering what you carried. What will he turn out to be or she? I don't care if your child's 50 years old today. Don't be so hard on yourself. You're human. Don't let guilt come upon you. Jesus, I mean, this would be 18 years later that Jesus would step into his main role when he came upon the earth, 18 years later, after he was left behind. How many times did Jesus bring up to Mary? "My mommy left me behind in Jerusalem for 3 days, you know? What, you want a Mother's Day card, you know?" I mean, how many times would he? I mean, he was a teenager. I have no idea. I have no idea. I mean, nowadays, they had a cell phone and just pinged Jesus and found where he was at, you know?
That's right.
But she left him behind. "And she will bear a son, and you'll call his name Jesus. There has never been a perfect mother, only a perfect son, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And through him, all things are made perfect." Yes. All things are. And I don't care what the mistakes was done in your life or you've done in your life. They're made perfect through Jesus Christ. Amen? I mean, I'll guarantee you when Mary went back in Jerusalem, there's Jesus in the temple. "Hey, son, come here, son. Oh, I miss you." I don't think he ran away. He embraced her. Oh, Mom, yeah, I'll hang out at my father's house. She still don't quite get the concept, okay? But Christ would have received her back because he went with her. Amen? Maybe she'd be embarrassed. How can I go back to the temple? Steve, I left my kid. I left God in the temple. I agreed to take on this responsibility. How can I face him anymore? How can I go to him? Maybe I just need to stay away from my son forever. I'll just never go see him again. How can I face him for what I did to him? Man, how can I? But all the responsibility I had, and I got so caught up in the rest of the family and relatives and all going back. And man, 3 days later before I even thought about finding him again. I can't face my son. But man, I tell you what, look what happened when he did. Jesus continued on what God called him to do. Don't allow anything to separate you from your children. And children, let nothing separate you from your mother. Amen. Tear down the walls that's been built up over the years. Tear them down in the name of Jesus Christ. Love one another. God loves us. Amen? Amen. He does. He does. And maybe you're here today and say, well, it's too late. My mama went to the grave. I couldn't stand her. There's no way I can apologize to her. You seek God. Say, God, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. And He'll forgive you. And there'll be no hard feelings. And the Christians, you enter the gates and you see your mama standing there. She'll have a smile on her face. Amen. 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 Seems like the hardest thing at times is not forgiving one another. It's forgiving ourselves. We are... You moms are the hardest on yourself than anyone else is. Because you got to be that perfect mom. And folks, you don't have to be that perfect mom. You serve a perfect Savior. Serve Him. Allow Him to fill in the blanks. Allow Him to patch up what needs patched up. Allow Him to live through you. Allow Him to strengthen you. Allow Him to lift you up today. Let Him take away that guilt and that pain that you've been carrying around all these years. Lay it down today at the cross. Lay it down and don't pick it back up again. Mary probably asked herself 1,000 times what she could have done different when she saw Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. But 3 days later, she wouldn't have changed a thing. Maybe on the cross when Christ was crucified for her sins, maybe I should never went back to Jerusalem. Maybe I should never went and found them again. Maybe I should let him just stay on his own. Maybe he would never be on the cross today. But he had to fulfill what God gave him to do. And because of that, because of Jesus Christ, you can sit here today, redeemed, forgiven, amen, triumphant, and uplifted, I pray. Eve regretted her mistakes, but we learned that God hears our prayers and answers them. And His timing, not ours. True, Eve helped to get us kicked out of the garden. And through this, yes, one son killed the other. But God heard her cries and her prayers, and God even saw what would take place. And 4,000 years later, her prayers be answered as Jesus Christ came upon this earth, and He came and He died for our sins. And when He's on that cross and buried in that tomb, He went to that bosom of Abraham, and his captives was released. They were ascended to paradise with Jesus today. I don't know if Eve went to the grave feeling bad. But folks, we know the truth. She had faith. But we know the truth in Christ Jesus now. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. See, through her bloodline, and she was the first mom, come down through the tribe of Judah, Jesus Christ came. Still her bloodline. Amen? Amen. God tells us in Romans that He has given knowledge of Himself to all. In Romans 1:20, since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made. So they are without excuse. He's saying everyone that's ever born has this thing inside of them, knowing there's a God. Okay? I'm going to put a couple of scriptures together and I'll wrap up with this. Sure, maybe you messed up at one time or another. Yes, maybe you would do things differently, even if it's another chance. But listen, do not let the things of the past torture your future. God has forgiven us now, and it's time to forgive ourselves and enjoy the life God has given us through Jesus. And don't allow your children to degrade you and blame you for their lives today. God tells us He made sure they knew, and they know today there is a God, and He offers all a new life through His Son, Jesus Christ. Listen to what God says today. Do not allow your children to degrade you today and tear you down and blame you for where they're at today. Amen? Do not allow them to do that. And Romans 10:13 says, "For all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, any man in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come." He said, "Everyone born knows and have a knowledge there is a God." So they are without excuse. I don't care if they're 40 years old. So why, you would have raised me different. I'd be different. I'm telling you, that's a lie. I'm saying they are old. Old enough to know the difference. Sure, you might have messed up in your younger days, but you've been forgiven. And they're trying to bring that guilt back on you. They're trying to get away from themselves. Because they know there's a God in heaven. And God says that through Jesus Christ, all things are made new again. That's no longer an excuse saying, "Well, I'm this way because of my parents." No. You can be set free from that. Maybe you're here today, I mean, that's a burden you carry, and, "Oh, I'm the way I am today because all my parents." Maybe you've been convinced by psychiatrists and everybody else saying, "Oh, you're just the way you are because of your parents, and you just can never change it." Well, that's a lie from Satan. Jesus Christ made all things new again. You can be set free from that. Maybe you are carrying a heavy burden. Maybe your child life was really heavy. God can set you free from that. He makes you a new creation. All things. So whether you had a terrible childhood, and it's hurting your heart, or if you were the one that gave the terrible childhood and it's hurting your heart, God forgives. Yes. Forgive one another. Live with Christ. Allow Him to live through you. And enjoy this life He's given us. He's coming back soon. There's not enough time to carry heartaches and ill feelings and unforgiveness. I don't know about you, but for my house, we shall serve the Lord. And we do that in forgiveness. We do that out of love. Is it hard at times? Yes. Do I pray a lot with white knuckles? Yes, I do. But I pray and God brings me through. Moms, same with you today. Do not be so hard on yourself. Forgive yourself. Children, forgive your parents. Time is too short. Every time we carry hate in our heart, Satan wins. Every time we carry unforgiveness in our heart, Satan wins. God says, "Come to me. Oh, you're weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I can't take away what you carry in your heart. But God, through His Son Jesus, can." I encourage you today to allow Him to do that. To refresh you. To strengthen you. Allow Him to continue to love you. Amen?
Amen.
Happy Mother's Day, Mama. And thank you for all your moms do. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you. May He be gracious to you. May He turn His face toward you and grant you peace. May His hand of health be upon you. Prosperity be upon you. And may that be extended upon your household and upon your children's. And your children's, 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 and children. May you just continue to walk in His love. And may He comfort you daily. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, or lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am